You guys ready for the word?
Yeah.
All right, let's jump in. So we just started walking through the book of Galatians. And again, it's not a verse by verse study. It is by themes more than anything. But the book of Galatians, the whole theme of it is leading us to freedom, right? Leading us to freedom, freedom from the bondage of the law, and then leading us and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which we determined last week was how to be good in our own eyes, and then leading us to the freedom in the tree of life, eating from the tree of life and freedom found only, everybody say only, only in Jesus Christ. Today in part two, we're going to talk about the crucified life. Paul will continue to address this battle that we all experience, but the battle of the old versus the new, right? The new Gentiles, what we learned last week, this is still in review, were being persuaded, the Gentile Christians, right? The non-Jews were being persuaded by key leaders from the Jewish Christians to carry out certain customs and laws, et cetera, leading them into religion, the following of rules, and regulations in attempt to please God. The Galatian churches were found in what we would know now in the modern day Turkey. And Paul is basically writing this letter in response to the problem that the new believers in Galatia are being swayed to believe this other gospel than the one that Paul was preaching. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to be reading out of the Message translation in this passage of scripture simply because I like how it reads and it puts it in a way that's just kind of right there in our modern day language. And I like how it is. I'll have it up on the screen. So we're going to chapter 2, starting in verses 11 and 13 through 13. Says this, later, when Peter came to Antioch, I had a face-to-face confrontation with him because he was clearly out of line. Boom, there it is, right? Here's the situation, Paul says. Earlier, before certain persons had come from James, Peter regularly ate with the non-Jews. So Peter, we're going to pause here. Peter is hanging out with the non-Jewish Christians, right? He was hanging out with them. Now, you got to understand the complexity here. Peter was a Jew, right? He was one of Jesus' disciples, right? We all understand that, right? So he had this vision in the book of Acts. We saw this where he went to the city of Jaffa to heal this lady named Dorcas or Tabitha, right? We guys know she passed away and he goes to raise her from the dead and heal her. You guys familiar with that story? I'm giving you some context here. And so then he's hanging out with his buddy, Peter, the tanner, or Simon the tanner in Joppa, and he's up on the roof and he had this vision of a sheet that came down from heaven suspended by four corners and there was clean and unclean. You guys familiar with this, right? He had that vision three times. And then up the road a ways in the city of Caesarea Maritime, there's this centurion. And the centurion was having these visions from the Lord. Also, he sends three of his servants to go get Peter. Peter goes down, right? And the whole complexity of it is this. Jews don't hang out with Gentiles. And Caesarea Maritime was a Gentile city, right? So Peter's fighting a little bit and resisting God. No, God, you know that I can't go there, blah, blah, blah. And God says, what I have made clean is clean. You following me? I'm giving you the Reader's Digest version of this. So Peter goes there. The centurion's family, Cornelius, his whole family gets saved. And he baptizes them and all that stuff. And so Peter is hanging out with non-Jewish Christians. This is where we pick this up. You follow me? If you follow me, say, uh-huh. Okay, I want to keep us all on the same page. So he's hanging out with these Galatian Christians. And it goes on, Paul says, but when when that conservative group came from Jerusalem, He cautiously, this is Peter, pulled back and put as much distance as he could manage between himself and his non-Jewish friends. That's how fearful he was of the conservative Jewish clique that's been pushing the old system of circumcision. You guys remember that? The Jewish Christians are saying, you got to be circumcised, right? And I brought the parallel of what if you want, you know, if you had wanted to be a part of our church family, we had to do some surgery, right? Yeah, no, it wouldn't go. So this is the scenario that's going on. And but it said, Paul says, but unfortunately, the rest of the Jews in the Antioch church joined in that hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was swept along in the charade. So the question for us today out of this passage of scriptures is, how do we keep from going back to the old way of living, the old life, right? How do we keep from going back there? I believe that it begins with understanding the gospel, right? The gospel. The gospel is the ticket. So let's look at verses 16 and 19 with me, okay? Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, again, still in the message. Paul says, we know very well that we are not set right with God by rule keeping, but only through what? Personal faith in Jesus Christ. How do we know? We tried it, and we had the best system of rules the world has ever seen, convinced that no human being can please God by self-improvement. We believed in Jesus as the Messiah so that we might be set right before God by trusting in the Messiah, not by trying to be good. Verse 19, let's jump there. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. Anybody ever feel that way? And it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. We thank you for the praise and worship. Lord, I pray that it was a pleasing sound to your ear, Lord God. We thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would even now begin to do a work in our hearts and in our minds, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that we would hear your word, and not just hear your word, but be doers of your word, to be transformed by your word, and be changed. Let us leave here differently than we came in. Open our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. So we all know the tension that's going on right there, right? The tension we talked about last night, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is I can do things myself to please God. We went back to the very foundation with Adam and Eve, and that was the very thing that he's like challenging this. So there's a tension between that we understand. Now, the main theme of this particular chapter is a powerful one, and the end of the chapter reveals the truth of how we become God's man and God's women. You with me? Are you ready for this? Okay, now, I thought about this a lot, and this is not a grow the church message, but it is a grow the people message. This is one of those ones that we grab, and this is, how do I put this? This is one of those messages that's in the deep pool, right? We're in the deep end of the pool, not the shallow end, okay? So this is going to be a deeper one, and when you, and how I know that is when we face a biblical truth that is challenging and hard, that puts us into the deep end, right? You ready for the deep end? Okay, this one principle, if lived out, can change your life for good. Second only to your decision to follow Jesus, right? That is the best decision that we'll ever make in life, is to follow Jesus. And this principle that we're going to talk about is found in verse 20. Let's read it together. Can we read it together out loud? In Galatians, do I have it up there? Okay, here it is. Let's read it together out loud. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life live. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The principle that if we grab a hold of will change, right? I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. I have put to death many things on a regular basis in my own life and continue. Attitudes, thoughts, habits, things like that. It is something that we all experience, right? It's all things that we have to do. I have been crucified. I no longer live. We have to learn the art of dying. Not die, but dying, right? We got to learn the art that I no longer live. Dead men don't get mad, and they don't get jealous, and they don't get lustful. They're dead. So what does the rest of the verse say? But Christ lives in me, right? The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We call this living the crucified life. Today we're going to talk about dying. Everybody's like, The entire theme of Galatians is living your life in freedom, right? Freedom. Jesus talked about it in the book of Matthew. Check this out, chapter 16, verses 21 through 25. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. The disciples at that point thought Jesus was going to be this earthly king, right? They had no idea that he was going to be a heavenly one. They thought that he was coming in, he was going to overthrow the Roman government because they had been in bondage and in servitude and in domination for a long time. And they believed that the Messiah was going to be this earthly king that was going to come in and kick the Romans' butts. Right? Up until that point, that's what they understood. The Messiah would sit on the throne in Jerusalem. Then Jesus says, I'm going to die. Oh, snap. I could just imagine that the disciples' belly buttons puckered right then. They're like, what? Wait, huh? No, that can't be. They had a misunderstanding, right? Look, verse 22 here. Check this out. Peter took him aside. Really, Peter? Gutsy. Peter takes Jesus aside. Hey, bro, come here. Come on, come over here. Could you imagine? Maybe my brain is, and I've seen too many movies, but could you imagine the audacity of Peter? Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. This is where Peter grabbed, he's holding on to the tree of life, and this is where he kind of reached over to this other one, the vine off this other tree, right? He's grabbing on and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, I love this. Get behind me, Satan. Right? You are not a stumbling block to me, or you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So Jesus right there just introduces this concept that people who live their lives to the full aren't living their lives based on their own desires and wants. Follow me. In order to live life to the fullest, something has to die. Isn't that contrary to what we hear and see in the world? In order to live life to the fullest, something has to die. Verse 25, for whoever wants to save his life will what? Lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. How easy it is for us to swing from one tree to the other. Think about it. We want to change situations, But God wants to change us. You may be in a tough situation, job, marriage, crisis, problems, whatever, you can fill in the blank, but your situation might change. And you're still mad, bitter, and angry. Why is that? Because I didn't change. Situation did, but I didn't. You following me? You picking up what I'm throwing down this morning? I need to change. In order for me to change, something has to die. Nothing's going to change if nothing changes. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. And in order for something to change, something has to die. Living a crucified life. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. Paul tells us, for we know that our old self was what? Crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we, that's you and I, should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So we have Paul here and had to confront Peter for his hypocrisy. Peter was changed by the time that he wrote the books and hit the letters, 1st, 2nd Peter in the Bible. Okay, we know that much. But how do we live this crucified life? It's mentioned three times in three different chapters. So obviously this is something that God wants us to grab a hold of, right? Three times in three different chapters. So we must crucify three different things. You guys ready? If you're note takers, here's number one. First thing we need to crucify is self. How do we live this crucified life? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:31. Paul said this, I die every day. I die every day. Paul knew that there was this tendency to grab hold of that old way of living, right? He knew this. He even says in one of his epistles, he says, I struggle. Why do I do the things that I don't want to do, but I can't do the things that I want to do in the Lord? There's this tension that we all are very, very well versed in. We understand this tension of grabbing hold of the old life, right? Coming to the Lord every day, I die. I die. You go to God in prayer every day. Something like this. I kind of just put this in my notes. Lord, today I surrender to you. I give you control of my life. I receive your love and forgiveness. Take all of me. And I give it all to you. I give you my attitude. I give you my thoughts, my body, my mouth, my ears, my hands, my mind, my eyes. Let them be your eyes. My feet, let them go where you take me today. I want your nature. I give you me. I die to me. Daily, lay down your life and die every day to yourself. John the Baptist said in John chapter 3, verse 30, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. He must increase and I must decrease. Start every day like this. And I love this quote. I don't know who said it, but the man on his face cannot fall from that position. The position of humility. A position of humility. So our action step is humility. How do we put that in action? I come before the Lord humble. I come before the Lord in humility. And I say, God, here it is, a daily time that we come and humble ourselves in God's presence. Take self and throw it off and put Jesus in his right place. Get off your own throne and put Jesus on the throne of your life. Second thing that we need to crucify is flesh. Flesh means our passion and desires, right? Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Today, you hear people say these kinds of things. They talk about, that's just who I am, right? Anybody ever say that? That's just who I am. My granddaddy was a smoker. My daddy was a smoker, and that's just who I am. Anybody hear that? Maybe you've said that. I just think what I think. And I just say what I think. You need to deal with it. It's the kind of person I am. The world says just go with who you are. Right? They give you permission to be the unedited version of you. You don't have to accept you don't have to accept your passions and desires. You just got to live them out, right? I want to be a person who doesn't live by my passions and desires. I want to live according to God's word, and I want to live and be a person who lives God's purpose in me. Now, you got to understand, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that I don't struggle with the same things that y'all do. Right? I struggle with passions and desires. I struggle with myself. I struggle with grabbing a hold of the old self once in a while. If you don't believe me, ask my wife and kids. It's a tension that I struggle with too. I'm preaching to the choir here today, right? This is what we got to do. But I've got to put to death my desires and passions. Lord, today I got some things in me that don't line up with your word, and I need to put them to death. And what's that mean? We live a life by choices. We live by choices and not by feelings. Why? Because feelings lie to us, right? Choose this day whom you're going to serve, right? We have to choose. Jared and I were talking about the scripture in the Old Testament, to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of happiness. Why, we were talking about this driving the other day. It's a choice. Right? It's a choice. But we walk through life all the time wondering why we feel this way and we feel that way, and we're going to indulge this feeling. It's the way I feel. It must be truth or whatever. No. God has given us a choice. Right? A choice to live this way. A choice. So we live by choices and not by feelings. We live by principles and not by pressure. Live by your convictions that come out of God's word. Hopefully you're in God's word. If you want to have life, real life, we've got to lose it in our perspective and in our desires and in our passions. Right? Joshua 24:15. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's an act of my will, not my feelings, right? Just like loving my wife, it is not, I haven't lost that loving feeling, right? Love is a choice. She gets to choose every day to love me, whether she feels it or not. And I get to love her by choice, not by feelings, because sometimes feelings lie. Sometimes when I roll over in the morning and go, oh, good morning, baby, and the dragon breath comes out, she at that point's got to go, oh, Lord, I choose to love you today. Go brush your teeth. Right? We all been there. If you haven't, you're lying. Choose. Choose. What is our action step? To make good choices based on the word of God and the conviction that the Holy Spirit puts inside of us, right? The third thing that we crucify is the world. The world. No, we don't burn the world down. But Galatians 6, verse 14 says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We have to die to what the world says, right? The world's thinking, its culture, because it's death. You don't need 50 Shades of Grey telling you how to have a marriage. I've never seen the movie. It just sounded good. No, not the movie, the line. You don't need 50 Shades of Grey to tell you how to have a marriage. That was good. Okay? The secret is this. We need a world filter. We need a world filter. Create a world filter. What does that mean, Pastor? I don't listen to that. I don't eat that. I don't drink that. I don't think that. I don't embrace that. Don't let the world in. You do not conform to the world. No longer conforming to the patterns of this world, Paul tells us, right? But being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Does that make sense? You got to have a world filter. Too many people. Okay, let me back up. This is what I'm saying right here. I'm not letting the part of that part of the world in my life. That's the piece where you need a filter. Too many people establish their personal morals and boundaries based on what they see in the world and what other Christians are doing. Unfortunately, just in this passage of scripture, that's why Paul is confronting Peter, because Christians were leading people astray because they were caught in religion, not in life in a relationship with Jesus, right? He's talking about that double gospel, the two gospels. You following me? You remember? So we got to be careful. I want to look at Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 again. And I want to share with you an aha moment that I had last night when I was trying to wrap all this up into a nice little bow. And it says this, but when Peter came to Antioch, Paul says, I had to oppose him to his face. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation now, for what he did was wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. And as a result, other Christian believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Do you see? You see that right there? What God showed me last night, this aha moment, was verse 13, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. I know we've all heard other people say, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. Yep. We are, right? We are. We're hypocrites. I'm a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. And here's the thing that I want us to catch. The aha moment for me is this. I never thought about the apostles struggling with hypocrisy. I'm like, man, they were with Jesus. But they were caught up in hypocrisy. We all struggle with some type of hypocrisy in our personal lives. Are we in agreement? Whatever it is for you is for you, right? Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's nicotine. Maybe it's your attitudes. Maybe it's whatever. You fill in the blank. There's a lot of them. Now, here's the thing. We can easily justify many of the things in our lives, right? We can justify them, and we do. Let's be real. We do. But we need to realize this truth. When hypocrisy happens in our life and falls into our life, when we are trying to align ourselves with the world and still try to call ourselves a Christ follower, that's where hypocrisy comes, right? This is why we have to crucify the world. We have to get away from this mindset that we can live as close to the standard of the world as we possibly can and still call ourselves a Christian. That dog don't hunt. That's where hypocrisy slams us in the face. Period, point blank. And it's not new. Peter dealt with it. I'm sure other apostles dealt with it. There's an entire church out of Antioch that struggled with it. New Life, we struggle with it. And we're going to continue until we grab a hold of this, right? We will. And it's just the way that it is. And I... better wash my tongue. It's all messed up. It reminded me of this quote. That what we allow ourselves to do in moderation, it will give others the license to do in excess. Ooh, come on, that's good stuff right there. Come on, Bridger, that's good. what we allow ourselves to do in moderation will give the license for others to do in excess, right? It's just that we've got to figure out how to crucify the world in us. We've got to figure that out. It's so true. And I want to say this. You don't need anybody telling you what's right and what's wrong. You don't. You just need the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That's all you need. Ultimately, if you're listening and being led by the Holy Spirit, and you're if in the Word of God, if you don't have those two things, you're toast. It's just the way it is. You don't need anybody. You don't need anybody telling you where the line is. You don't need me telling you that. But can I say this? You better have a line. So many times in our lives, the line is blurred because we keep flirting with the world. God's saying, I want you to be separate. That doesn't mean that we go live in a commune. What it means is that we are not aligning our values and our spiritual beliefs based on the world. It's on the Word of God and His Holy Spirit. You following me this morning? I know that this is probably stepping on toes. But if God's not stepping on your toes, you're not standing close enough to Him. I haven't used that word in a long time, have I, Carrie? Galatians 5:18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 through 18, therefore come out from them and be what? Separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing of the world, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and then you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So what is the action step here? We've got to have separation from the things of the world. They should not be dictating our lifestyle. They should not be dictating our morals and our values. This should. And the Holy Spirit, when Jesus died on the cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb and was raised 3 days later, when he came back and appeared to the disciples, what was the last thing he did? He told them, I've got to go so the Holy Spirit can come. Because that's who we have. Jesus could only be right where he was, right? He was with the 12 and the people that gathered around and chased him all over Galilee and all that other stuff. Okay, he couldn't be all over the world at one time, but the Holy Spirit can. That was the gift that God gives us. Now, here's the crazy thing, and we're not going to spend a lot of time here, but we have relegated the Holy Spirit to being this weird, ooky thing. But can I just tell you, the Holy Spirit is why that you're a Christian today, why you're a Christ follower. Because the word says no one comes unto the Father except through the Holy Spirit who what? Draws them. The reason that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ is because of the Holy Spirit. And then at that point, he takes up residence in us. He is with us. He is the paraclete in the Greek. He is the one who comes alongside. He is the one that convicts. He is the one that comforts. He's the one that brings peace. He's the one that guides us and directs us. We need the Holy Spirit. He's not this weird, creepy, ooh thing. And we're going to get on that topic sometime down the road. But we got to grab a hold of this. Being led by the Holy Spirit and being in God's Word. So let me wrap this all up this morning. Whew, it's warm up here. So, like I said at the beginning, at the beginning of the message, I said this will all be wrapped up. And how do we become not a law man, as Paul put it, but start being God's man or God's woman? And it's simply this, by living a crucified life. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live in the body, I live by the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God, right? I crucify myself, which means what? I am humble. I come before the Lord in humility, and I crucify flesh. That means that my choices are based on what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do, the convictions that are in my life. And my convictions aren't your convictions. You know, everybody's got some convictions. You know, my conviction is I'm not going out partying and drinking alcohol at the bar. And I'm not going to say that you can't do that. What I'll say is, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? I live by my convictions. And that's that. I can't put my convictions that the Holy Spirit's put in my life. I can't put them on you. Because that's what God has dealt with me. And you have your convictions. And a lot of the times our convictions will align. And sometimes they won't. Because it's based on personal experiences in my life. Right? I'm not going to do this thing because I've seen what it's done in my family. I've seen what it's done in my friends. And I don't want to pay that price. And God says, I don't want you to go there, because if you go there, these things will happen. And if it go there, maybe it's going to damage and destroy my witness to the world. I walk into a bar and start slamming back brewskis. What's that going to say to the people down the street when I'm saying Jesus loves you? Jesus loves you, man. You following me? Live in a crucified life by my choices, crucifying the world, separation. Can we just bow our hearts and our heads together? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Carrie's going to play softly. Here's the thing. Are you hanging out at the tree of life or the tree of death? The tree of religion, the tree of trying to please God by the things that I do. The presence of God is here this morning, and I know, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I feel God's presence here, and I know that he's here. He promises where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. So the Holy Spirit is here, and I know that he is doing what the Holy Spirit does, is speaking to many of our hearts this morning. Can I just simply, I'm just going to put it this way. Ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now? I want to hear your voice. And you might have already, Holy Spirit is probably already putting that on your heart. What are you saying to me, right? What are the things that I need to crucify? What are the things that I need to let go? Or what are the things that I need to add? Maybe I need to be in his word more. Whatever it is. So we're just gonna be quiet before the Lord here for a few moments and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does best. To come alongside of us and to guide us and to direct us. So let's just sit quietly before the Lord and ask that question.